I've experienced feeling bad and feeling the pain. I don't know what's going on. And I had to cry out to Yahweh. What is it that you were trying to focus me on, Yahweh? Humble me so I can hear and see what it is you want me to see so I can get back on the right track. And I'm telling you, it wasn't right away. One time, it took a couple of days. But then he did. And I'm thankful. And I praised Yahweh for that so that it refocused me back on him. It helped me block out the foolishness and the noise of this world. It's easy to get caught up. We think things are important. We got to make people like us. We're doing stuff at our job. We're trying to do all this. We're out trying to please other people, trying to please ourselves, our families. And a lot of times we forget we have to please Yahweh first. Our obligation is to him first and foremost. We need to focus on him. And if we're not, we need to refocus on him. Because I'm telling you, you don't want to fall in Yahweh's judgment. When I was feeling the way I was, I did not like it. But when I asked Yahweh to help me and he helped me refocus back on him, it gave me peace. And I felt good and rejuvenated. And guess what? All the rest of that stuff, it was taken care of. Yes, Grandma?
You knew something was wrong.
Right.
But the human couldn't see.
The flesh. That's right.
He put you to the test.
He did. And for those, I realized because I've watched some of these on Periscope myself, you can't always hear what the audience is saying. So what grandmother was saying, she says, he put me to the test. The flesh couldn't hear. She said, but Yahweh wanted to get my attention. And she's absolutely right. And it helped me focus back on him. So sometimes when we go through these things, it's not punishment. It's correction and direction. Picking up in verse 20. So that his life hates bread and his soul dainty food. Look, you can't even eat. And his flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen. And his bones that were not seen stick out. Yes, his soul draws near to the pit and his life to the destroyers. If there be with him an angel, an interpreter, one among a thousand to show to a man what is right for him. Then Yahweh is gracious to him and says, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. And in this, we see that glimpse. Who is that ransom for us? Yahshua. Yahshua is our ransom. Yahweh has brought us back from the brink through his son, Yahshua, our HaMashiach. Verse 25, his flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He returns to the days of his youth. He prays to Yahweh and he is favorable to him so that he sees his face with joy and he restores to man his righteousness. He sings before men and says, I have sinned and perverted that which was right and it profited me not. And he has redeemed my soul from going into the pit or the grave and my life shall behold the light. Lo, all these things does Yahweh work twice or three times with a man. See, it's not always, we don't get it the first time because we're flesh. This may happen several times to us in our lives, but we must continue to turn to Yahweh and never tire of asking Yahweh for strength and forgiveness and for guidance. To bring back his soul from the pit that he may be enlightened with the light of the living. Hallelujah. That's what we must remember to do. Isaiah chapter 40. If we adhere to what Yahweh's trying to show us, not kick against him, that's what he does. He brings us back. He restores us. Isaiah chapter 40, we're just going to read two verses in verse 9 and 10. I'm sorry, not 40, 45. Isaiah 45, verses 9 and 10. It says, woe to him that quarrels with his maker. Once again, kicking against him. A potsherd among the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who fashions it, what are you making? Or your work, he has no hands. Woe to him that says to a father, what do you procreate? Or to a woman, what are you laboring over? We don't question our father. We don't do that. We obey him. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. And we're going to start in verse 14. Romans 9, 14. And it says, what shall we say then? And the reason why I started 14, give a little context. All right, Romans 9, verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with Yahweh? Of course not. He said, by no means, or Yah forbid. Verse 15. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that wills, nor of him that runs, but of Yahweh that has mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose did I raise you up, that I might show you in your power, and that my name might be published abroad in all the earth. We wonder what he used. He said, Yahweh said he will be magnified through Pharaoh, through his destruction. And if I'm not mistaken, that's in Exodus chapter 9. You have to check that out. verse 18. For then he has mercy on whom he will, and whom he will he hardens. Verse 19. Then you will say to me, why does he still find fault? Almost sounds like what Job was saying, huh? For who withstands his will? But know, O man, who are you that replies against Yahweh? Shall the thing formed to say to him that formed it, why did you make me like this? Or does the potter not have the right over the clay to make from the same lump one part of a vessel of honor and another to dishonor? What if Yahweh, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath fitted for destruction? He's saying Yahweh put up with us. We are fit for destruction. We are all sinners. We have all sinned. We have earned that death penalty. But Yahweh has shown longanimity. He's shown patience, and he's let us endure, and he's let us live. He has shown us mercy because we've earned destruction. So he says he's done this. He's shown patience with these vessels, with us. Verse 23, that he might make known the riches of his glory upon the vessels of mercy, which he previously prepared for glory. Even us, whom he also called, not from the Jews only, or the Judeans only, but also from the Gentiles. 1 Corinthians 10, and we're going to read two verses here, 21 and 22. 1 Corinthians 10, starting in verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of Yahshua and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of Yahshua and of the table of demons. Or do you provoke Yahshua to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Once again, and this is Saul writing this, because this is after his road to Damascus experience, isn't it? He knows we cannot fight against Yahshua. We are not stronger than him. We can't do what we want to do and then try to do Yahweh's will as well. They don't go together. They are opposite. We must submit ourselves and our will and our way to him. So those are the examples of what we see going on. And what are these goads? You know, like I said, we in the New Testament says pricks, but it's goads, a prick being a sharpened goad. But these goads are things that try to give us direction and show us a way to go. So I want to share some examples. Let's read. Let's go to the book of Joshua, chapter 23, where we can see these at work. Joshua 23, and we're starting in verse 12. We're going to read three verses, 12 through 14. Joshua 23, starting in verse 12. And he says, and we're breaking in the thought of what Joshua is saying. You can read the rest of the chapter on your own throughout the week. It's edifying if you read it. But I want to break in here and pick up in verse 12. And he says, else, if you do all go back and allow yourselves to the remnant of these nations, because Yahweh had brought them this land. He said, if you go backwards, once again, going against Yahweh, of these nations, even these that remain among you and make marriage with them and go into them and they to you, know for a certainty that Yahweh, your Elohim, will no more drive these nations from out of your sight, but they shall be a snare and a trap to you, and a scourge in your sides, and some say a thorn in your side. This is that prick, this is that goad. You're going against it now, it's going against you, isn't it? It's causing you pain. And thorns in your eyes until you perish from off this good land which Yahweh, your Elohim, has given you. And behold, this day I'm going the way of the earth, and you know in all your hearts, because I'm about to die, but I want to remind you, you know in all your hearts and all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the things which Yahweh, your Elohim, has spoken concerning you. All have come to pass to you, and not one thing has failed. So he's reminding you, the word of Yahweh doesn't fail. Yahweh does not lie. So just know, as sure as I'm about to leave, I'm about to not be on this earth, but just know, if you do this, what's going to happen? And you know it will happen because Yahweh has not failed to keep his word. And I admonish all of us that we remember the same thing. Yahweh has never failed to keep his word. And when we go against him, then don't be surprised when we get what scripture says we're going to get. When people don't walk in the way of Yahweh, you see the product. You see the evil. You see what's going on. So why are we surprised when we watch the news and we see the atrocities and we see the evil and we see the unbelief? I don't like hearing the brethren sound surprised. I don't like seeing and hearing the brethren sound perplexed about what's going on in this world and what's going on around us. If we are, then as a brother, I'm admonishing you, and you admonish me. If you hear me all of a sudden wondering and pondering what's going on, then tell me. You need to get in the Word then, Johannes. Because obviously you're not reading. Scripture says what's going to happen. Tell me. I'm not going to lie. I won't get mad. I'll probably be embarrassed. No, not probably. I will. I'll be embarrassed because I don't want to be weak. I don't want to be found wanting in spirit. I don't want to be found like, and we're going to read that in Hebrews about those, remember, who didn't enter because of what? They didn't enter into the land because of their unbelief. They didn't believe what Scripture has said. They didn't believe what Yahweh has said. We must believe what He says. So when we see these things happening, say, yep, that's Scripture. Ecclesiastes 12, many are familiar with this verse. Ecclesiastes 12, and we're just going to read two verses, 10 and 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Starting in verse 10. Ecclesiastes 12, 10, it says, and the perfect preacher set out to find out acceptable words and that which was written uprightly, words of truth. The words of the wise are as gold and as nails well fastened are the words of the masters of assemblies which are given from one shepherd. And it's interesting, you know, that verse never really solidified to me until I started looking into this study. It says gold or well fastened or nails well fastened by the shepherd, because that's who would be using a goad, is a shepherd to guide the sheep, to direct them the path they must go. And when they don't, they feel that prick. They feel it. Yes, got Robert and go ahead, Jerry, then I'll get Robert.
The thorns that you mentioned in Joshua, was that the same thorns that Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians as far as the thorn in his flesh?
In his flesh? I don't think so, because that thorn in his flesh was a particular ailment for him. But I think he was using the same context because he knew about his previous actions. And remember, when Yahshua spoke to him, and I could have read on, because when he said, what do you want me to do? And Yahshua said, this is what I want you to do. And then he says, what? And you will suffer greatly for my name's sake. And then with Ananias, he says, look, don't worry about Saul. Because remember, Ananias had trepidation about dealing with Saul. And he says, no, don't worry about Saul. I've already shown him the great things he must suffer for my name's sake. You know, so that was his... Because he had been going against Yahshua quite a while.
Right.
And so that was his particular thing. But what Joshua was saying to the nation was, if you do these things, then you receive it. It wasn't given to them immediately. It was only if they went against Yahweh that would be a thorn in their side. But it wasn't the same thing, because they all didn't suffer as he did. It was just, we saw their suffering, captivity, death, famine, all those type things. But that was a good question. But I think Saul was using the same context, basically, that we will suffer when we go against Yahweh. Robert?
And going to the question that Joshua was saying was that these nations will be a thorn in their side,
mm-hmm.
because they didn't do what Yahweh said. What Paul, if I remember correctly, it was an individual who was a thorn in his side that was working against him. But that'll be something to review later. But here it says, the words of the wise are as goads and as nails, well fastened, are the words of the master of assemblies.
Right.
So they are goads, and there are some things that are set,
right,
unchangeable. The nails are, the goads, they point you and guide you and direct you in a way, but there are certain things that are just, the nails are set.
Right.
Yeah.
So the path of Yahweh is set.
Yeah.
So that we aren't destroyed, so that we're not confused. Just think if Yahweh changed with the weather. Just think if Yahweh was like man. How many people can we point to in our lives and say, oh, they just, you know, they don't change? I mean, look when we go to work. Your boss is happy one day, he's mad the next, he says, do this, then you start doing, oh, I want to do that. And then they get mad because you can't read their minds. Mm-hmm. He's like, but you didn't say that. Or they say this and you're like, are you sure? I'm the boss, do what I say. And then you do it. And it doesn't work. And then, like, did you know this is going to happen? Yes. Well, why didn't you tell me it wasn't going to happen? Well, I did. We were in a meeting. You know, it's just, that's what they do. People are like that. But Yahweh is not. He is one way. Because His way is the perfect way. And so, for those who are streaming, if you didn't hear Robert's comment, he was saying that it would say that the nails, it simplifies or symbolizes something that is set, unchanging. And that's how Yahweh's word is. And what Jerry's comment was, he asked if the thorn in Saul's flesh was the same thing as mentioned in Joshua that we read in Joshua 23 about these nations will be a thorn in your side if you go against him. So that's what I was replying to. Continuing on, let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 23.